Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Yes,
Dan?
Sir.
Mm-hmm. What was the last time you smoked a cigar?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
I don't think...
The answer is never. Moving on.
It's
a terrible
been
question.
Forever.
It's been forever.
The only reason I ever used or bought cigars would be chop them up, make a blunt. You know, get a White Owl,
nice.
Get a Swisher.
There you go.
You know, make a blunt out of
all
it.
All right.
But no,
hold on
never...
there. Hold on there. Too cool for school.
A Garcia Vega. Go down there. I've never been a big cigar guy. I started smoking with a pipe because I was very pretentious.
Oh, yeah, no, I did the same thing.
In high school, like, a couple of my friends started smoking, and I was like, well, I want to join you, but I'm also above this.
Yes, yes, of course.
So I got a Sherlock Holmes pipe, and
right.
It was gross. And I always associated pipes and cigars being similar in the way that you don't really inhale. It's more of a mouth thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of gross. I never really got much of a charge out of it. So I don't know. I've probably smoked 3 actual cigars in my life, and I was faking it every time.
Yeah.
You're a cigar boy? You're a cigar boy?
I think the last time I had a cigar where I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking smoke this cigar. And not one of those where you light it up and you're like, I've already done this wrong and I throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. It was at my friend's wedding. And I remember being out in the back of this like a courtyard area. And my friend's wife's dad. His new father-in-law came up to me and started saying some really creepy shit to me.
Yeah. Like what?
He told me way too much about what he knew about his daughter's previous sex life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That version of creepy.
Yeah.
Not
that,
like, hey, you know what a human tastes like?
No. Not like the, hey, you want to see a dead body?
Sort of a past implication creepy as opposed to a, you want to get into something?
Right.
I'm not sure which would be better. Both are bad. Well, scar's not
you
gonna
You want to start an underground fight club at this wedding? Do you want to get in there?
That could be a revenue stream. We talked about that before the show. No, I don't know. Scars suck, but what doesn't suck
nice
is our donors. I'd like to take a second here to give a shout out to a couple of new people who signed up with the show. Mike T, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Also, I'd like to say thank you to JT. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, JT.
Also, Luke. Thank you. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you very much, Luke T.
Finally, like to you got that T habit there.
You get 2 in a row. It rolls off the tongue.
Finally, I'd like to take a second to thank someone who came in on a little bit of an elevated level, and we appreciate it oh so very much. So, Lord Nikon, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a
Caribbean
black
accent.
He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Nikon.
Thank you very much. Nikon, like the camera?
N-Y-K-O-N.
N-Y-K-O-N? Yep. All right.
Thank you so much. If you are listening out there and you'd like to support the show and what we do and become a policy wonk, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking that support the show button. We would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Something we need to do before this show starts is I want to say
started an underground fight club at this wedding.
That would not be... I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I got a glass jaw. That's
okay.
Why I hide behind this beard.
All right. Fine.
Look. We've been doing this show for 2 years, and I have never received the amount of negative feedback that we got from our last episode about how we...
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's not Chumbawamba.
We need to give an apology to Chumbawamba. We implied that they had fascist leanings.
Yep, that's our bad.
And it turns out that we had mixed up in our minds, because Chumbawamba apparently are anarchist types.
Right.
And we were thinking of Ace of Base.
Yeah.
And we just completely fucked up.
So yeah.
Apologies to Chumbawamba. I've always defended you as being better than just tub thumping. That was the song. I get knocked down, but I get up
again. Oh, I thought that was the name of the album.
Was the name of the album.
Okay, well, the album wasn't terrible.
No, I
think the album overall was pretty good.
Anyway, we don't need to go this far into it. We just say apologies that
apologies to Chumbawamba.
Very triggered.
Go
our audience,
fuck yourself, Ace of Base.
Yes.
Apologies to Chumbawamba.
Our audience took that very poorly. I don't know how we fostered this pro Chumbawamba audience, but that was
That was intense.
That was a deluge of messages from people who are like, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but Chumbawamba is pretty cool. Sorry. Anyway, I enjoy interacting, and I don't mind people correcting us when we're wrong. It's just so funny that this is the thing.
I didn't realize that the Venn diagram between rabid Chumbawamba fans and Knowledge Fight fans was so strong.
I'm cool with that. I don't know.
No,
I don't
absolutely.
So, Jordan, today we are in the past. We are going to the past, and thankfully we are out of March now. We are into April. So today's episode will cover April 1st and 2nd. 2009, which is very exciting. There's a couple things in this that I take great pleasure in being able to go over, and some things that I think are lame as hell, but we can laugh at.
All right.
That'll be a good time.
Let's see how it goes.
So we begin on April Fool's Day. My man. April 1st. I always love tuning in for an April Fool's Day episode of Alex's show because, I mean, we heard it on Friday's episode.
You're going to need to sell this really hard.
Well, he clearly pulled a prank on Owen Schroyer on our last show.
I get why we consider that a prank.
I think that Alex
humor
has,
is not involved in
no,
it.
No, he's not a humorous man. But I think he has a playful streak to him.
Uh-huh.
I think he has a cantankerous little troublemaker inside him. And so I always think that April Fool's Day is going to bring it out of him. And I always think, I've listened to like four or five April Fool's Day episodes just hoping for a prank or something, and it never fucking happens, and it doesn't happen today.
God damn it.
But instead, we do get to learn about what's happening in the right-wing media sphere outside of InfoWars.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
I think it's very interesting.
It's good to check in on them.
Ann Coulter has endorsed Congressman Ron Paul for 2012. She says she supports him on, quote, every issue. Of course, she and others attacked him during the campaign. See, this is what they were doing back when we could have stopped the New World Order, and it could have been done with getting Ron Paul elected. I mean, if they were unable to assassinate him. We could have pulled out of the United Nations, federalized the Federal Reserve. It's not federal. We could have reversed all this. He was right about it all, covering the New World Order, just like we were covering in here, going off the globalist own documents. And now Ann Coulter is endorsing Ron Paul. Fox News has him on every other day. CNN has him on constantly. And they're trying to act like they're with the American people against the bankers when they're owned by the bankers.
Controlled opposition, these guys all are.
I get it.
Yep. So Alex is starting to see a lot of...
Okay.
Alex is starting to see a lot of his rhetoric creeping into the right-wing media.
Uh-huh.
That entire world that he has always seen himself in opposition to,
right.
He's starting to see his narratives being mirrored there. He saw it earlier with Glenn Beck and sort of thought that was an isolated case. But now, as the Tea Party becomes more out and out in public, I mean, we're a month and a half past the original, like, huge push, the Tea Parties all over the country.
Yeah.
So as it starts to grow, we've already heard indications that Glenn Beck's got his 9/12 movement starting. The pieces are starting to fall into place, and Alex is seeing a lot of his shit. His laundry is being aired, but he doesn't like who's doing that laundry.
Right. As Fox News gradually came to terms with the black president, they realized that it was time to start sounding like Alex Jones.
I don't know what exactly the reason is, but yeah, who knows if that's why we need a bigger boat, maybe, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like we have this black president we're super afraid of, and our pissant shit isn't going to work.
He's wearing a stupid suit. How about we be out and out racist?
And we need a secret government as the boat or whatever. We need Alex's globalist sort of what would you call it? Like, the skeleton of a house in order to build this. You know, you need the girders that Alex has.
Yeah.
Whatever propaganda Fox News is going to try and pull isn't going to fly.
Uh-uh.
They don't have the foundation in place. And Alex has been working for 15, 18 years at this point building that fucking foundation.
Right. Because what Fox News had to realize, like what they realized they had to do was one, illegitimize a black president and say that he can't actually be president because he's black. Uh-huh. Blah, 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 whatever other reasons they want to make up. But
right. He's
also, he has to be all powerful and a tyrant mm-hmm. while at the same time being ineffectual and non-existent.
They realize the effectiveness of that half sick, half alive dichotomy that
Alex has been doing that through the Bush years. They were just a mouthpiece like they are now, but Alex has been there from the beginning.
Yep. Yeah. There's an interesting thing. And I mean, who knows how much of that is intentional at all? Like I wouldn't come out here and say that Fox News looked at Alex and said, let's get us some of that or anything like that. It could be pure coincidence that just, how do we make this more extreme? Oh, yeah. Here's a possibility. It doesn't mean that they're ripping off Alex, but Alex sees it for sure as he's being ripped off.
Yeah, it's more like the American public saw what Alex was doing and was like, I want me some of that, but I don't want Alex to be giving it to me.
And
I would prefer
it was
a blonde white woman. Yeah, exactly.
It filled that hole. You know, supply and demand. There was a demand for non-Alex,
yeah.
Fox News kind
of. Somehow, a Megyn Kelly, a blonde white woman spouting bigotry, just ascended into the stratosphere.
Yeah, so I'm interested to track how this goes, but I'm sure it's just going to be Alex is mad about everything. But interestingly, on this same episode here, on April 1st, where Alex realizes sort of the Fox News, the CNN, I don't know why he's lumping in CNN there. I think this might be back when Glenn Beck was on CNN. I think that's possible.
Glenn Beck was on CNN?
Yeah, he was on Headline News, CNN Headline News for a bit. But look,
man,
the thing is, on this same episode, Alex does something that I have not heard him do ever. And this is a seismic moment in Alex Jones' research, because this is a turning point.
The key leaders of the anarchist group in England are openly and publicly, this is even in mainstream news, funded by George Soros,
the
Ford Foundation, and others, just like they funded the Weathermen.
Interestingly, he had a harder time making that argument when Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground was in studio, and he said, I don't know, what the fuck are you talking about? And Alex had no information to back up his claims of all these nefarious organizations funding them. But we have never heard Alex say something that overt about Soros being a boogeyman puppet master.
Oh, yeah.
So mark it down in your calendars. April 1st, 2009 is the first time in our travels that we have heard that. That's as early as we can find.
4-1, Soros begins.
Now, it's interesting to me the way he phrases it, because whenever he's talked about these big bad guys before, we've heard it 100 times. It's the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, the Rockefeller Foundation.
They're the ones doing it.
This phrasing is very familiar to me in present and further down the line sort of linguistic patterns. But Soros, Ford Foundation, and others, that is new to me. I don't know if that means anything. I'm not entirely sure. I need to give it some more examination.
Do you mean that particular phrasing of it?
That clustering.
Yeah. And the way that he rolls those as a 1, 2, 3 are the ones who are doing it. That we've heard now a million times.
Yes. But the way I would expect it to come out, if he's adding Soros into it, would be Soros, the Rockefeller Foundation.
Or even the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and Soros now.
Any of those things is possible.
Soros takes front and center right away.
Right. And part of this could be a blip in the radar.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely possible, because George Soros did come out and do an interview that I think was ill-advised, because the propaganda that could be made about it, where he was talking about how he was having a great recession because of the bets that he'd made.
Right.
You know, he was like, I did call a bunch of stuff. And,
he's still a billionaire. He can go fuck himself.
He didn't cause the recession. He didn't do anything evil. It was just, you shouldn't have said that, George.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And then the other thing too is, he had a lot of feelings about the G20 and how it was one of the last opportunities to save the global economy and that sort of thing. And so he was in the news around G20 2009. So I also considered the possibility that this isn't where the George Soros is evil boogeyman kind of thing narrative starts.
This is just a reaction to him showing up in the news for a bit.
I think so, but it's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird. The Soros Ford Foundation combo there is weird. It just throwing him in as a lead player is weird. But I don't know. We'll see what transpires. Alex has got a lot of feelings about G20. And one of the things about them is something we already discussed in 2009 episodes.
There's actually 18.
Secretly, two of those countries don't even exist.
Yeah.
Shadow countries. So Alex has been real hot and bothered about the G20 summit over there in England. You know, he's been making a big deal out of how Obama's going to go and meet with the Queen. He's lying about all that stuff.
He's going to bow.
Bowing. Like a cuck. And then, you know, the G20 stuff, his big main point is that these G20 protesters, they're all apparently paid by Soros.
Right.
They're all fake opposition to the G20.
In order to discredit real opposition to the G20.
Which is him.
Right.
In his conception.
And only him.
Only him.
And Ron Paul, I guess.
Yes. Those are the only people who have it right. Everybody else is a bunch of posers and Johnny Come Latelys or something like that. They're all a bunch of Ann Coulters.
Couldn't they just be like regular anarchists, though?
I mean, they could be, but Alex doesn't believe so. And there's one way he knows that they're not regular anarchists, and that is they don't fit the physical description of all real anarchists.
One has to see it to believe it. I have experienced it. Come on, let's riot. Let's do something. Oh, start shoving on people. It's two giant 6'5", 6'6" guys in ski mask, and a real anarchist weighs about 110 pounds, has zits all over them. They're on methamphetamine.
That's true.
And they're always led by, you know, foundation handlers.
On leashes.
Who are wearing the guard, but they're always openly Marxist, and they'll say, "Get back, Jones, we'll soon kill you."
You ever see that Jet Li movie?
These are cops. He's like, "That's right, they work with us, and we're taking America over, and one thing we do, you're dead." He thought he intimidated me, some little pot-bellied, red-bearded commie.
I thought he was an anarchist.
Go ahead, take your best shot, commie.
No. You misunderstood the story.
This is different.
A chubby, red-bearded commie slash Marxist is out there, and he is the one who's leading the emaciated anarchists or something. No, the fake anarchists.
The fake anarchists,
because
the fake anarchists are very large.
Yes. Yeah. And so he talks to the leader, who is the red-bearded, pot-bellied Marxist, and he's like, "Yeah, I know the foundation's bad. I know, but we're going to kill you." I don't believe any of this.
I don't understand anybody who would do any of the actions that he said.
Nope. I do understand it in the context of trolling.
Yeah.
Like if someone was fucking with Alex, I understand that entirely.
For sure.
But yeah, that unfolding as a real series of events, I can't go for that.
Yeah. Of course, young Santa Claus is going to troll Alex all day.
Yeah. Nonsense, Alex. But, you know.
Why does he think anarchists weigh 110 pounds?
I guess he met one, maybe.
Is that a stereotype that none of us knew about? That, this guy, he looks like a real anarchist over there with his zits and his meth.
I don't think it's a real stereotype in any way, but I think it has to just be proof of Alex having met one anarchist, and he thinks they're all like that. Or maybe two, maybe he met an anarchist couple that were real svelte, and maybe smoked meth. And he's like, "Oh, that's what they all are like."
Yep.
So that's a lot of his. He has Steve Watson on for a really sleepy G20 update, and I just don't want to listen to that at all. They're basically just saying that all the pictures you see of like protesters bloodied and stuff like that, it's all fake. That's paint.
Okay.
That's paint. That's not even blood. That's all show acting.
That's just paint? I mean, get some pig's blood or something. Like, sell it.
Meanwhile, point of order, a dude died. That wasn't fake at all.
False flag.
So that's most of the G20 stuff, because Alex gets distracted a bit of the way through the show by TV coverage of Obama showing up at Buckingham Palace.
Uh-huh.
And Alex is just doing his British voice all over the place.
Of course.
He's having a great time talking about, "Oh, this is so fancy. Ooh." All that stuff. Then he decides he's going to blow everyone's mind.
If you don't believe me, get a pen and paper out. I'm going to tell this right now.
I have one.
Not to be gross or not to be silly or not to be Python-esque.
Sounds like you're going to be all three.
You know, Saturday Night Live. This is real. This is real. In fact, they've even made a joke about it. They had that thing called Mr. Show.
Alex
on HBO.
Watched Mr. Show.
Where they're treating a guy as royalty and they're wiping his hind end for him in the restaurant. He doesn't have to leave the table. We ought to pull that skit up online or something. But the point is,
why?
And we've done deep research on this. They still have their butts wiped for them. Now, if you don't believe me, you Google groom of the stool. You cannot make this up. You will be reading mainstream university websites, mainstream news articles. It's called the groom of the stool.
I am not going to bore our listeners with a discussion of why Alex is wrong about this and how it ended centuries ago, the practice of the groom of the stool, which was a respected position because it wasn't so much just wiping the queen's ass or the king's ass. It was a close advisory position. You had to be, someone had to be with the royal at all times and all that back then.
Sometimes you wipe a little ass along the way. That happens.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist anymore. But Alex is so caught up in the idea that it does, and he is so defensive about the idea that people won't believe him, that he spends at least an hour talking about the groom of the stool. So not only does he spend an hour on it or so, he also has to call in a bunch of staff to back him up.
It's kind of crazy that he would do that, because that sounds exactly like something somebody who was 110 pounds on meth would start talking about for about an hour.
Yeah, it also, conversely, kind of sounds like a Mr. Show sketch. Broadcaster who is defensive about people not believing him, so he brings in his own employees to back him up.
I kind of want to, hey, can we bring up that Mr. Show sketch? We got to get that one online.
We can't do that. We don't have rights. But in this first clip of that series, Alex brings in Aaron Dykes to talk about this, and here's what he's got to say.
I mean, this is filth. This is the New World Order, Aaron.
We're going live to the scene with you, Aaron.
But our own presidents have their stool guarded by national
security
forces.
That's right. We did a deeper study. George Bush had he reincorporated Groom of the Stool.
Because it can also be used to examine, you know, medical weaknesses. And
that's right. He has a special toilet. Don't believe me. Just type president has portable toilet. And he's got to have it carted around. In fact, when he's at big
mobile
summits,
I want them to talk about this for forever.
They have to cart it around behind him.
State secrets of the stool.
Well, it's all about worshiping them. Just, oh, even, you know. You know what? I think some listeners probably don't believe us.
I've looked it up, too, as you know, Groom of the Stool.
Remember when I first told you a few months ago and you guys didn't believe it and you Googled it?
It's strange, yeah.
It is strange. Here's the interesting dynamic that's at play here. Alex is wrong about everything that he's saying.
Yep.
Aaron Dykes is actually right. The president does, like, and this is pretty consistent among a lot of heads of state, they don't let their shit just go anywhere because it is a state secret in some ways. Because if a foreign hostile leader or whatever were to take their waste, they could have it analyzed and find out a lot about potential health conditions.
Right.
That could be used to blackmail them, or it could be used in some way that could be exploited for, I don't know what other ways other than blackmail.
Dan, I think you are missing the number one way to exploit that.
I got your shit.
Cloning! Cloning, my friend!
Sure.
What if the Chinese get a hold of Obama's poop, use it to clone a new Obama, accelerate his growth, as we all know the Chinese can do, which they've been able to do that since the, 300 BC?
According to Alex, they do it in cows.
That was actually how Qin Shi Huang took over China in the very beginning.
It's also how they built the Great Wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cloned
Obamas.
There is a sensible reason to this that doesn't have to do with, like, it's about being worshipped and then, like, you all need to walk around and wipe my ass or anything like that. It's just there's a logistical thing. It's like you could tell a lot about a person if you just stole their shit.
Yeah, no, that's true. I didn't, I never considered that because, I think what I would think is, come on, guys.
No, totally.
Come on, guys. And I'm talking about even to the people who would steal it. It's just like, hey, come on.
To the ne'er-do-wells.
Little decency.
Yeah.
Little decency here.
Have you no decency?
Yes. Come on. We're not stealing your poop.
So Aaron Dykes comes in and he brings in this George W. Bush head one, and Alex is like, he reinstituted the groom of the stool. Misunderstanding. Alex is lying about it. Aaron Dykes is pretty close to right, but they're sort of having a different conversation at the same time, and neither of them cares to point out, like, no, that's not what we're talking about. They just let it go.
I imagine that's really important to any conversation any of Alex's underlings have with him, is to always have a different conversation and let whatever his conversation.
Let it go.
Yeah. No. That's great.
Yeah, they might as well be in Frozen. Just saying, let it go.
All right,
in their head.
Okay.
I haven't never seen that.
Okay.
So at this point, after that, Alex isn't satisfied with Aaron Dykes' backup, so he does this.
Let's call Jacobson in here. Let's have a discussion. Rob Jacobson, please come in here.
Just fun to remember.
We're just going to br- bring in more and more people to confirm that somebody wipes the Queen's ass.
Also, it's fun to remember that currently Rob Jacobson has an EEOC complaint against Alex, alleging that he was grooming him for homosexual sex. And that almost everybody at InfoWars called him the Jew and the like, that sort of thing. So, hey, Rob.
Sorry, buddy.
We're discussing the groom of the stool. Tell the listeners, you guys didn't believe me a few months ago, I told you about it. Explain to people this is real.
This is real. Aaron did
good work, Rob. We'll see you later. Get out of here.
We read at least 10 documents in about 10 minutes. He would
That's
one
too
after
fast.
The other, long reports. Groom of the stool. They do it.
That is too fast.
That's too fast.
You didn't read any of those reports, then?
Nope.
So suffice it to say, this is the picture that I want to present to you of what's important about Alex's groom of the stool stuff. He is so defensive about the idea that people don't believe him and think he's making it up to be gross or funny that he has to bring in multiple employees to be like, yeah, man, wild, crazy.
Now he reminds me of Coach with his like a series of Google Hangouts folk being like, hey, now I'm going to make Mark mad, but the groom of the stool is real.
Honestly, Coach has a more efficient system down. Alex had to call Rob into the studio. It's just a waste of time, man. You see this show, and it's like, you could be way, there's way better way. Like, what do you?
No, I love this.
Talk about something.
I would like this to happen forever.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually, because that should just continue. Because when he starts talking about something else, it ends up being kind of racist.
God damn it.
You know, you don't see wolves trying to eat grizzly bears. Wolves go after deer. They go after mice. Actually, their main diet is rodents. They go after little things they can grab. They don't go after porcupines.
Careful.
They don't go after poisonous toads.
Careful.
They don't go after grizzly bears. They don't go after polar bears. They go after rabbits.
Name other animals.
And sheep. And we are sheep. The illegal aliens are not to be meshed with. They're here to bankrupt the economy, bankrupt the states, drive down the wages as part of merging us in the third world. Only citizens are to be throttled, squeezed, dominated, bludgeoned, controlled, pushed to the edge of extinction, driven into homelessness, put in camps, their children taken, their cars seized. We are here to be raped by the criminal government.
So,
okay.
There's a couple words that he uses in there that make me think that this might be a race thing.
No, come on.
Driven to the point of extinction.
No, come on, Dan. What are you talking about? Come on.
What I'm talking about is what I feel when I hear that.
No, let's just go with more animals. What do wolves go after kangaroos?
Let's
do
box.
This. Rob Jacobson, I'm going to need you to confirm. Get on in here.
The kangaroo is nice with the right, nice with the left.
Okay,
you know, they
I gotcha.
Can just give them the good, sweet
wolves,
science.
Wolves just stay out of Australia entirely.
Yeah, I think so. The dingoes are the wolf of Australia, from what I understand, from jokes.
Yes, many of the facts that I know about Australia are actually jokes.
So what Alex is presenting there is basically this conception where the citizens, which we know he means white people.
Oh, for sure.
Are the government is just feeding off of them, whereas they're bringing
in the government's the wolves.
Yes. They're bringing in the illegal immigrants. I don't think they're an animal in this metaphor, because then they would have to be the bear or something
like that. Yeah, I thought they're supposed to be like the snake or the porcupine or something like that.
I don't know. I don't think they fit in. I think it's just about the
So it's just a animal metaphor, and then let's just throw in some racism.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I think if you confronted him with that and you said, hey, Alex, that sounds mighty racist, he would say, I'm just talking about illegal immigrants. I'm not specifically saying what I mean by that. It could be immigrants from anywhere, any sort of immigrant.
Yeah.
I'm not, it has nothing to do with that.
It could be Melania Trump.
Unfortunately, a couple minutes later, he takes a call and things get a little too overt about what they mean by immigrants.
No. Lauren in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey,
already adding Ohio to the
Pretty
list
good.
Of states.
Hey, I wanted to cheer you up a little because I can hear the stress in your voices and that you're making me crack up with the Queen stuff. And I'm wondering when people are going to stop bowing down and scraping before men. Now, I'm going to just real quickly do this. I hear you talking about the Mexicans. They're above the law. It's not that the Mexicans are above the law. It's that they're not under the rules, codes, regulations, and statutes by virtue of their voluntary contract with these.
I agree. Because
yes,
they literally are free men and won't get the license and won't get the
insurance.
All of that
makes perfect sense.
And just thumb their nose. The system's just given up because it's powerless unless you acquiesce. And you're right. That's why this. Yep.
You got it. And here's the thing. This is the key. And this is why they needed to get the Bible out of the schools and away from the children. God made us human beings, humus man. You know, he created us out of the dirt. Human.
Yep.
We, the land.
I get it.
Us. You are God's gift to you. You are a king of your own land. When we came here and this country was developed, and my ancestors, one of them was Raymond Demery. He was aide-de-camp for Washington. And
Slow down. Talking too fast. Makes me think you might be thin and on methamphetamine.
No, I was like, Jesus, lady,
pressured
take a breath.
There. So I don't care about her family history being close to Washington or anything like that. She's just espousing sovereign citizen, free man on the land kind of ideology, which we know Alex is super into, but never wants to use those words or anything like that because he knows the stink that's on them. And he knows that he would look like an idiot if he overtly came out and said it. But when a caller who gives that approach, Sonny's like, I agree. I love it.
Absolutely.
So now
they can only do it if you consent to it. And also, tell me more about your ancestor who is an aide-de-camp to Washington.
Who cares?
Which is a weird humble brag, I guess. Like,
she goes on a while.
Of course she does.
But so now we've recontextualized this as the idea is like, okay, so first of all, when he's saying immigrants, he means Mexicans. Or at least we have very firm
when
evidence.
When she says Mexicans, he's like, exactly what I was talking about. Thank you for cutting through this whole illegal immigrant nonsense that I
which
had
is
to
a
say.
Problem for him trying yeah. to take some sort of a distant position or play like he wasn't saying that. The second thing that clearly demonstrates is when Alex uses words like illegal aliens and stuff like that, his audience knows exactly what he means.
Yeah.
This caller is fully demonstrating that she heard Mexican when he said that because that's what he meant. And him responding the way you describe shows that that is what he
yeah,
meant.
Yeah, of
course.
And
he's intentionally meaning it that way. So all these citizens are stuck. They're not free because they have IDs. They have...
Sure.
They have birth certificates.
Mark of the Beast.
They have social security numbers.
Capital letters everywhere.
Absolutely. They have gold tassels around the flag at the courtroom.
Yeah.
So they're... This is the beginning of a trend on these episodes that I haven't seen before that makes me sick. And it's quite frankly a bunch of people expressing a bit of bitterness, but also jealousy of illegal immigrants, undocumented
really?
Immigrants.
Huh.
Yeah, they're trying to create the perception that they're the free ones and we, the noble white sovereign citizens, are the ones who are oppressed. And it's hard.
What's
it's hard to look at.
More off the grid than immigrating illegally to another country.
I guess.
Sovereign citizens, you can do that.
Sure.
Go elsewhere.
There's two that touch our country.
Yeah. Look.
So we'll get back to that. That is a theme that runs through a little bit of this. But Alex gets distracted before he gets back to this and says something. What do you want to say? It's bad. It's just bad.
Huh?
And then I've got a free speech issue article here. This is out of Fox News. They posted an Associated Press article on Fox News. Special Olympics launches campaign to ban the word retard. All that means is retarded. They have retardation.
Oh, God.
That's like the word Negro now has been turned a racial slang. Anglo-Negro.
No.
So real quick, before we get back into this, that right there is a dumb thought, because what he is trying to say is that Negro means black in Spanish.
Right.
That's what he's trying to say, or Negro means black in Spanish. And what he accidentally says is not Negro Blanco, he says Negro Anglo.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Alex, what that implies is that you are using it specifically.
Hey, hold on. I wouldn't go that far.
As a racial classification.
Hey, whoa. It's just a word that means things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Europe, you get arrested. And this is, you can Google this. This is BBC headlines. They arrested Robin Page. We had him on. BBC.
That's why.
Presenter, One Man and His Dog, where he goes to different towns hiking each week. And interviews people, and he gave a speech to a rural affairs group and said, rural communities deserve the same rights as Muslims and homosexuals. And they said, we believe that word was meant to hurt feelings. The scientific term scares people, heterosexual, homosexual. So we're going to ban that word, and he was arrested. That was in the news. And the BBC agreed with it and said we may have to fire him. This is very evil to say the word homosexual. Well, because some ignorant people use the term retard to be mean, now they want to ban that. But this
like
is
you.
Only to set the precedent. First, it's you can't deny that 6 million Jews were killed at Auschwitz alone.
Uh-oh.
Certainly Hitler
careful.
Was bad.
Oh,
a lot of Jews, a lot of other people. It was in the millions. There's no doubting that.
We jumped
But see, the Soviets
quick.
Exaggerated and said 6 million at Auschwitz. And then it came out that, well, no, not Auschwitz, 6 million total. And so that original piece of information is what caused the larger debate.
Presented without comment. Alex, you didn't need to say any of that. You don't
that,
need to do that.
I didn't. Why?
What
you could have just not said it.
You definitely could have.
You could have just not said it.
It was an option.
You could have been like, hey, I know people are trying to, you know, classify the word retarded as an offensive word, but I think it is an applicable word because it's a thing that You can make that argument
if you want.
And that's all you're really doing is making a bullshit argument. Like everybody's fine. Just you're an asshole. Don't be an asshole. Everybody's fine if you say Jew. Nobody's fine if you say Jew. Mm-hmm. Like you get it. We get it, man.
Right.
I there's no need to then be like, so let me tell you why this is the Holocaust adjacent.
Let me tell you why people who are making Holocaust revisionist and denialist statements are kind of have a kernel of something going
all right,
on.
All right.
It's the Soviets.
All right. I'm just trying to be racist and offensive. And I really want you to know that the Holocaust, it wasn't that bad.
I feel like I've explained, not too long ago, the nature of a lot of the Holocaust, denial is being done in service of amplifying the crimes of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
There is like the anti-communist propagandists.
Right.
They have a very, a trend towards that. And I'm not saying that's what Alex is doing, but boy, is that close. It's close enough for jazz,
you
as
guys,
they say.
You guys keep saying that 6 million died at Auschwitz. We know it was in the millions, but not just at Auschwitz. You know why they said that? Because the Soviets killed 10 billion people, and we don't talk about that. We just get mad at little old nice Hitler, who's just going along his business, trying to kill a medium amount of Jews.
Yeah.
Not like the Stalinists.
So I don't want to talk about the Special Olympics piece of this. Who cares? Alex is stupid about that. But I was like, oh, that's interesting, this idea about this guy, Robin Page, you know, getting arrested for saying homosexual.
Yeah, I guarantee that is true, and Alex will be borne out to be correct. Dan, go ahead and make sure everybody knows that Alex is 100% correct this time.
So he gave, this Robin Page guy is a, sort of a country traditionalist activist, farmer kind of activist guy and TV personality on the BBC.
Uh huh.
64 years of age back when this happened in 2002. He gave a speech at a gathering at Frampton-upon-Severn in Gloucestershire.
All right. Frampton-upon-Severn Comes Alive is one of my favorite albums
it's
in the 70s.
It's classic.
So good.
It's right up there with Budokan.
Yeah, just, yep.
So,
what's the name of one of Ace of Base's albums?
Sign, probably. this guy... The trouble that he got in was because he gave this speech, and he started the speech with this quote, "If you are a black vegetarian, Muslim, asylum-seeking, one-legged lesbian lorry driver, I want the same rights as you." So,
ooh, yes, no, let's give him the same rights as them. Please, let's do that. Let's 100% do that. You can have them. Let's give them your rights.
Yeah. So the idea that people complained about was this idea of him trying to incite hatred towards these other groups. And England does have laws about that sort of thing. They don't have the same First Amendment that we do. Alex fails to realize that all over the place.
What are you talking about? The First Amendment is global.
From this article in the Telegraph, quote, "No one present expressed any concerns at the time, but a letter of complaint was received later by the police, and another person wrote to say he disagreed with the remarks made. Robin Page was arrested the next month, and a further 5 months later was contacted at his farm in Cambridgeshire and asked by two officers from Gloucestershire to attend an interview at the police station. He ended up staying overnight in prison because they said that it was trying to incite racial hatred. Yeah. I think that might be a little ambitious, a little capricious of the police and what have you. And in the end, he was exonerated and he got $2,000 for his troubles. He won £2,000.
Yeah.
So
that was when he wrote his famous letters from Frampton upon Hamptonshire County Jail.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That one was huge.
So he did end up getting fired from his post later, and it wasn't about this. It was, I'll just read to you here from this Cambridgeshire Live news article. He found himself in hot water over a, quote, joke about giving contraceptives to immigrants in raisins, while a local liberal also successfully complained to the Charities Commission about a press release put out by him through his organization. So there had been other racism based complaints. It wasn't just this. The idea that he got fired for saying homosexual because that's somehow a bad word nonsensical, and I poo-poo it. This guy has a pretty clear track record of minimizing the experiences of non-white traditional farmers, and then also advocating for forced drugging which is actually something Alex complains about people doing all the time. You think he'd be interested in that?
Nah, don't worry about it. I'm happy that is the end. I mean, look, in our world, that was very tame racist bullshit. like that he got
old.
I get
British
it.
People are very polite.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That's 100%. I agree. But I mean, in our world, it's kind of like, oh, that's cute. Look at how bad you are being racist, I guess. Like,
yeah, as I was reading it, I do recognize that there was a feeling of like, this isn't gonna land.
Yeah.
he just said that he wants to give immigrants contraceptives and raisins. That's Bush League.
I know.
That's horrible, but yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I was totally assuming sexual assault. Like, it's an old white dude at
but
the
he lives
BBC.
On the farm.
Like,
not a lot of people around there.
Well.
So, at this point, Alex has another guest on the show.
Yes.
He's done a lot of crowing about, the Queen and her poops. He has, done a little bit of business about how he is jealous of, immigrants because they're free.
Right. Did he do a number one or number two and who is wiping?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But he has also dabbled in Holocaust revisionism apology.
In a conversation defending the R word, I guess.
And now, so just to get bingo on this scorecard for April 1st,
okay,
he's got to have an interview with someone who thinks you don't have to pay taxes.
And Tommy Cryer is an attorney at law who successfully defeated the IRS in his own case. Mr. Cryer, it's great to have you here with us.
Thanks, Allie, for having me on. I'm always glad to be here.
So do you think that Tommy Cryer beat the IRS in this case?
I am going to assume that this is very similar to the last guy who, quote, beat the IRS in his case.
Mm-hmm.
What? Which guy was, wasn't that a Project Camelot episode where they...
All these fucking guys.
I got a huge... The government had to pay me $300,000.
A lot of them do say that.
Yeah.
No, that was Coach, I think, saying that the ACLU had to pay him.
Oh, that might be right.
All these people have bullshit.
Yeah, they always win their cases.
He did actually technically win, his case. Uh-huh. The criminal case. And that was because...
How did the civil one?
Well, with the jury, the issue was, in order for him to be convicted of this crime, they had to be convinced that he believed he had to pay taxes and was willingly not doing that. So he was able to prove in court or convince this jury that he actually didn't believe he had to pay taxes, they let him go on a technicality because there was no malice. So you can't,
the classic too dumb to commit the crime law.
It doesn't reach the criminal statute. So now this is interesting, Jordan.
How did he do with the civil case?
Well, you should know this. This episode is on April 1st, 2009. Tommy Cryer got back up in the IRS's grill. He filed a court, something in the U.S. tax court. He was trying to say that he didn't owe $1.7 million in taxes and penalties from the years 1993 through 2001 that the IRS said, hey, buddy, you owe that money.
Yeah, they usually...
The day after this interview, He does that. He starts doing that and starts getting, he has this interview with Alex. He's feeling on top of the world. That guy believes me. I'm going to go ahead and fuck with the IRS.
What a fucking idiot.
So the IRS asserted that.
Now I do believe that he is too stupid to be convicted of criminal malice.
He had a bunch of fines, fees, tons and tons of unpaid taxes over the years. He filed this petition. And he said that there was a little bit of a discrepancy, and that was, quote, the amount of the claim deficiency is disputed. The correct amount is $0. So, of course, that ended up, well, no, that's not true. We're going to have to take this to court. So there was a court.
Yeah, of course they are.
There was a court date set. And what Tommy Cryer did was try and get the date delayed. So he kept pushing the court date back.
Uh-huh.
And finally.
So he didn't have to pay the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So finally, he was supposed to go to court on February 15th, 2012. The court granted him another delay. So he'd already delayed it all the way
so
up to that point.
So he's gotten it 3 years at this point.
Yeah. Delay. Well, actually, I think they were sort of going through from 2009 to probably, I think, early 2011. He was sort of going through like a petty, I'll mail you a letter and tell you you're wrong kind of thing. They didn't set a court date until a little bit later.
Okay.
So it's maybe a year or year and a half that he's been getting these delays.
Mm-hmm.
So in February 2012, he got a delay and they rescheduled the court date for October 22nd, 2012. That never happened. Because Tommy Cryer died on the 4th of June, 2012.
So he did win!
He won!
He won! He won!
He kept pushing the court date back until he died.
What were some of his excuses?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I want a full list of every excuse he used in order to move the court case back a day.
I don't know all that stuff.
I want every excuse.
I don't know all that stuff, but I do know that it's pretty amazing that this guy only got off on going to prison because the court's like, the jury's like, yeah, I mean, he believes it.
I mean,
he's wrong, but he definitely thinks he knows that he can't take him to prison for that, I guess. And then he just was able to push it back over and over and over and over again.
For some reason, I feel like I remember something about laws and ignorance not being a defense.
I don't know where the line is, but yeah, that does seem weird. I don't know. That might just be an aphorism, though. Ignorance of the law is no defense against it or whatever.
That's true.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. That doesn't mean anything.
This is my advice to everyone. Always go for a jury trial. Unless it is all white and you are black, in which case,
don't do that.
No, don't do it.
So,
they're crazy.
Speaking of that sort of business, on our last 2009 episode, we talked about how Rob Dew, and that other guy were down in Sacramento trying to get footage for Alex's new documentary.
Right.
Trying to cover this white, camp, this tent city.
Look, they're even doing it to us.
That sort of thing. So now Rob Dew is back in studio. He's made it back to camp, and Alex is debriefing him.
Rob, come in here. I know you're back. Tell me about the poop thing again.
Tell me about the groom of the
stool. Confirm that the poop thing is real.
So now the weird thing about this is that Alex keeps saying that he's filming this for his new documentary, this interview with Rob Dew and the other guy in studio. And so he'll, multiple times, he was just like, say that again, do that again, but say it better. That sort of thing. Like, you know, you're still doing a radio show here. I know you want this documentary to shine, but do this off air, man.
We're going to need another take, and I'm going to need you to say it into this camera this time. I want you to say it directly in there. Don't move your eyes. We're going to give you a leading question.
Yeah.
But this time, start with an I sentence, please.
He's more or less doing that, and it's bizarre. And here is Rob Dew saying something that really reinforces my argument that this story appeals to InfoWars on a racial basis. They start this by talking about that Winnebago that we've heard so much about.
And so that was an illegal alien. They wouldn't impound with no insurance that Winnebago. So talk about that.
Right. Well, I imagine that
Lone Star.
Well, they had, let's see, one thing we did notice is that there were no, Hispanics in this. I didn't see any Hispanics. There was a couple
non-whites,
non-blacks. They were kind
you know
of,
me.
You know,
and maybe Pacific Islander.
Pacific Islander type, but there was no, illegal aliens around, and we actually didn't see too many in that area at all.
Well, that's because illegal aliens come from a real third world country. And Americans in a few years will know how to live. They live in 10-15 to a house. They don't pay any taxes, none of the system, and a lot of them go get all welfare, so that's why they're driving brand new cars around. Mm-hmm. Because, and then they save enough money to buy houses.
Right.
So they know what they're doing.
These illegal immigrants.
So wait,
we've already established Alex
doing?
Believes means Mexicans. They know what they're doing. They know how to game the system.
I don't know who's
buy all these houses and ride around in these awesome cars.
Who do you want?
What do you mean?
Who's like, is this like the scene from Heat where it's like, I, you know what? I get what you're doing living outside the law, but it's my job to enforce it.
I don't think so.
I respect
so.
You,
no,
though. I like the way, I don't like the way you do it, but I respect your plans.
No, I don't think so. I think it's him trying to create a false reality in order to foster feelings of jealousy and anger towards minorities.
Right.
In his...
He's doing welfare queen shit.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That is probably the best way to put that.
Yeah.
That is exactly what that is. And of course that's a piece of his... narrative about this tent city. That's lame as shit.
Oh, yeah.
But not as lame as how he decides to end the show on April 1st.
Got some breaking news on some of the gross things Queen Elizabeth does in the first hour in the restreams at InfoWars.com and a bunch of other informative guests. The last minute and
we got
a half,
Paul Joseph
Watson
here.
Been on like a week.
Paul.
Gold is right
Queen
up
still
there
gets her ass wet, right?
Rising, going back and forth. They are devaluing the dollar. They've announced they're going to kill it. Global currency. Folks, you are insane. If you don't put some of your liquid assets, stocks, bonds, 401ks,
nice.
And gold and silver, and physically hold it. The news is admitting you should do it now, but saying buy gold stocks. Whatever, folks. You want to physically hold it. Ted's got an incredible deal today. Ted, tell folks the deal you've got.
Oh, Ted. Oh, Ted.
Tell them the deal, Ted.
Ted.
Get that gold gone.
What's the deal?
So that's how he ends the first. And, you know, I feel like that show was looking back on it, I felt like, there was so much Alex trying to do comedy with the Queen and stuff like that.
Do you think that's what he was trying to do?
Yeah, I think he was. Well, he was trying to do comedy, like truth and comedy. He was trying to be like a Del Close type.
Sure.
Trying to talk about something real, but he thinks it's so funny that the Queen gets her ass wiped or something
like that.
That like this is going to be, he spent so long on that. And then this tax protester guy is just a zero. And then the racism throughout it about, like, I've not heard a ton of times when there's been, like, fairly consistent feelings of jealousy towards immigrants and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't heard that before.
That's
either.
A weird new wrinkle. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But it is definitely the same, it comes from the same racist place.
Oh, yeah.
That all of his other immigrant narratives have over, the time that we've been listening to him. But I didn't know what to do with it. And so I was glad. I didn't think there was a ton of meat, is what I'm saying.
No.
There was just a lot of gristle and,
maybe he's not Bill Hicks. Maybe he's actually Mort Saul.
Could be.
Mort Saul got really fat and gross.
Who's the guy who would just bring a newspaper up there and be like, what's in the papers?
All right. What's in the news today?
So thankfully I feel like.
Jay Leno?
Could be. I didn't feel like there was meat there, but thankfully I feel like as we get to April 2nd, there's a little bit more meat. And I found something in April 2nd that I think is super exciting. But before we get to that, we have to see the trend continue from April 1st into April 2nd of Alex Jones realizing that more and more Fox News personalities are sounding like him, and it fucking pisses him off.
And everyone's so thankful now of CNN and Fox. They're admitting it's a world government run by bankers, and Fox is even criticizing it. Oh, we've been endorsed by Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and all these other people. They're coming out admitting it's true. Oh, we can talk about it now. They say it's okay. They weren't stupid. They knew world government was being set up in the last 20 years. They knew it was all being developed. They're having to now try to keep some of their credibility by admitting it. I want apologies from all of these people, but you're not going to get that.
Certainly not. Certainly not going to get an apology out of any of those assholes.
I would like that day. That'd be a good day. I would like to turn on the TV and see fucking Brett fucking
Hume.
Yeah, just like, we just need to apologize once to
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Hey, look, we've known about this globalist shit forever. We've been fucking around.
Look, I am sorry.
We just wanted you to get there on your own. We didn't want you to feel like the establishment had your back. We knew that your voice could not be created if you felt like anyone supported you. So we rejected you in order to make you stronger.
Like parents purposely being like, now you don't become a musician.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, I would love that sort of an apology. So it is interesting. We have even more of these personalities that Alex is starting to take target at for like, now they're starting to sound like me. It's bullshit. All that. They make more money.
Yeah, I think it is.
That's a part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's 100% what it is.
They have suits.
Yeah. They're bought by bankers. I bought by Ted Anderson. I want a banker.
Yeah,
give me a banker.
This guy's a con artist.
I have a guy who has a pretend vault of gold.
I accidentally got too involved with him in the late 90s when I had nothing. Now I feel like I owe him. So in this next clip, Alex just talks about how he's got a sense of what's to come.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it hit me like a ton of bricks last night. They are going to stage terror attacks in this country. They are going to do it, and I'll tell you why when we get back.
Is somebody calling him?
So you get ready, folks.
Is somebody fucking calling him right now?
They're going to try to bring in hard martial law. They're going to try to arrest me
Tuesdays
and a lot of other people.
On Fox.
It's a guarantee they're going to move with physical force against the American people unless we bust our butts to expose the terrorist program now.
Didn't happen. Must have busted your butts then.
They must have really busted their
butts.
Yeah,
for real. Also, I always love it when I hear Alex say, it hit me like a ton of bricks last night. This thing I say all the time.
It was a tsunami of information.
That would literally.
There's going to be a summer of rage.
That would literally be like me getting on this show and be like, Jordan, look, I need to tell you. Last night I had a breakthrough.
What's that?
Alex Jones is not cool.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This guy.
Do you know what?
The only way
we're going to be able to stop him is if we bust our butts.
I'm trying.
And get the word out, Dan.
Alex is not on the level, man. I didn't realize it.
I don't get it.
I didn't realize it. This guy's got ill will.
You know what? I woke up the other day,
and
I was just blown away. I don't think this shady gold salesman is on the up and up.
No. You're 3 years late to figuring that out. State of Minnesota figure that shit out real early.
And they are the state of Minnesota.
That's correct.
You know how long it took them.
Mm-hmm. So I told you I found something real juicy, real good.
Yeah.
And it's in this next clip.
What's that?
It's not what you think in this next clip. Because you're going to hear the content of the clip, and you're going to be like, oh, this is what Dan is going to talk about. It's not.
Okay.
You have no fucking idea how
okay.
I'm going to flex on this
All
shit.
All right.
I have talked to multiple Hollywood people, and I also know people who worked at PETA for short periods of time and then found out how crazy it was. And I remember 10 years ago on air laying this out from inside sources, and people couldn't believe me, but then it's come out in the last 3 years on mainstream news. PETA, at its locations everywhere, orders its employees and volunteers to go adopt animals and then even do it with fake names to get more. And then with pleasure, it's like a ritual. They euthanize them. People thought I was crazy when I talked about that. Now it's mainstream news everywhere. It is a eugenics death cult. They believe in human extinctionism. They're really the public front of the animal liberation front. And
yeah, where are you
going
from there?
The Center for Consumer Research has now done a big report on it. 95% of the animals, this is up on Infowars.com, that they adopt, they secretly kill.
Ooh, oh my.
Ooh, God, I was listening to that so intently, trying to figure out what it
was.
Yeah, because it can't just be the PETA thing.
Can't be.
It's got to be. Oh, you found somebody in Hollywood who is a member of PETA. No, God damn it. I need something. I don't know what to go on.
Twist. Alex is totally right. They do sacrifice it. No, it's not that.
Oh, okay. So Holy shit, because I almost believed you for a second.
No, at the end there, he's citing something from the Center for Consumer Research. It's interesting that he makes this claim about this report about PETA loving to kill animals, how it comes from the Center for Consumer Research, because it doesn't. It comes from the Center for Consumer Freedom. One might think that it's a simple instance of Alex misspeaking, but I don't think it is, for a number of reasons. The first is that the Center for Consumer Research is a real thing, and it's a legitimate outlet. It's run out of UC Davis. They run research into consumer attitudes towards food safety, and they follow academic guidelines with their work. It's a real professional outlet. So associating this story about PETA with that organization lends it credibility. On the other hand, the Center for Consumer Freedom, which is where this story about PETA comes from, is a considerably less reputable source.
I can't imagine why.
The Center for Consumer Freedom is not a research outlet. It's a front group for a lobbyist named Rick Berman. Berman is known in many circles as the, quote, AstroTurf Kingman, because the way he does business is to create tons and tons of front groups to create the false image of support for various things he's lobbying for, make it look like they're coming from the grassroots, as opposed to the actual giant corporate clients who pay his bills.
So he's literally creating paid protesters!
Oh, interesting. He even told his corporate clients, quote, we run all of this stuff through nonprofit organizations that are insulated from having to disclose donors. There's total anonymity. People who don't know who supports us. We've been doing this for 20-something years in this regard. And to the degree to anyone is concerned about that, I will tell you, there are all sorts of ways, all sorts of firewalls that have been established to get this done on an anonymous basis. I'm religious about not allowing company names to ever get used. At least I'm not going to allow them to get used. And I don't want companies to ever admit that, because it does give the other side a way to diminish our message.
Is he literally a James Bond villain telling us his evil plan?
He
is
thought,
he monologuing?
Well, he thought he was doing this in a speech that where no one would ever get the word out about the things
right.
he said.
So
but,
literally like when
leak.
You have James Bond on your fucking bed mm-hmm. tied up going like, well, there's no problem in telling you my evil plan now. No one will ever know.
Ha-ha-ha-ha. But at the same time, revealing that evil plan to these large business donors does make them feel like, okay, well, we're cool. We're never going to get tied to this.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you have to assure them if you want to get them to give you that dirty-ass money.
Hey, you guys want to do some evil shit? Guess what? No one's going to know about it if you give me your money to me.
No one's snitching. So Berman's original group was called the Guest Choice Network, which he specifically started to create the appearance that he was representing restaurant groups opposing the proposed smoking bans of the late 90s, when in reality, he was working for Philip Morris Tobacco.
Oh, no. He actually had also opened the Center for Consumer Free Search, which
sure.
is a very different one as well.
Okay. Communications between Berman and Philip Morris's senior program manager for public affairs, Barbara Track, clearly lay out his strategy. Quote, if externally perceived as driven by restaurant interests, there'll be more flexibility and creativity allowed than if it's, quote, owned by Philip Morris. 9 months after their founding, Philip Morris attorney Marty Barrington wrote in an internal memo that, quote, as of this writing, Philip Morris USA is still the only contributor, though Berman continues to promise others any day now. They were the sole people behind this, Philip Morris Tobacco. Philip Morris gave Berman over $600,000 that year to create the appearance of a grassroots opposition to the smoking ban. He does this with a ton of industries. He organized the Employment Policies Institute to attack unions and initiatives to raise the minimum wage, but it's funded by money from the restaurant and hotel industry. He organized the American Beverage Institute to fight against harsh drunk driving laws, which predictably is financed by the alcohol lobby. This is all Rick Berman does. He creates organizations with official-sounding names to serve the interests of big business.
That is a great fucking scam. You gotta give it to him.
Oh,
that's a great fucking scam.
Millions and millions
Man,
of dollars.
That doesn't seem like a hard gig to do.
I mean, you gotta create so many shell companies and you have to have insane organizational skills.
No, I know,
skills.
But what is it but a harder version of creating your own university degree?
But you also, no, that's just write down something.
Right, but it's the same fucking thing. You just do it with a lawyer.
No. Cause if you do it, in this case, if you do it wrong, you're going to prison for life.
Right. Well, it's just a harder version.
But you don't need someone else to help you just make a fake diploma. You could do that on your own. In this case,
people mail, stuff to where other countries to give them a fake diploma.
Who cares?
All right.
In 2002, the Guest Choice Network renamed itself the Center for Consumer Freedom, and a lot of its focus became attacking food safety organizations and animal rights groups. It should surprise no one that the list of his donors include hundreds of thousands of dollars from Monsanto, Cargill, and Tyson Foods. It should also surprise no one that they received over $100,000 from the Koch-linked foundations, the Donors Trust, and the Donors Capital Fund, as well as over $600,000 from the Bradley Foundation. The Bradley Foundation was founded by Harry Bradley, who, interestingly, was a founding member of the John Birch Society,
Jesus
along with Fred
Christ.
Koch, father of Charles and David, the Koch brothers.
God damn it.
These are very startling connections, but leaving those aside, the reason for Center for Consumer Freedom to attack PETA is very clear. PETA had been creating public outcry about factory farming for years at this point, and in particular was a huge target of Tyson Foods, whose cruelty had been exposed by PETA multiple times. This is a perfect articulation of his strategy, as he expressed in a 2007 interview with 60 Minutes, where he said that it is his approach to shoot the messenger. Instead of addressing the disgusting animal cruelty, change the conversation into attacking PETA.
Mwahahaha. Every single fucking sentence he says should end with mwahahaha. He's a fucking supervillain.
The reality of this story about PETA killing animals is a sad one, but it's not one that paints PETA as a particularly evil organization. Which isn't to say that there aren't very valid criticisms one could make of PETA in other places, especially.
Sure.
The reason that the number that the Center for Consumer Freedom is able to cite for this number of animals that PETA killed, the reason that it's so high that year is that they were called in by a distressed policeman in North Carolina. He'd noticed that a ton of animals were being killed at shelters there, but in very inhumane ways. For instance, being gassed in metal boxes or shot with 22 handguns. PETA came in, assessed the situation, and provided more humane euthanasia methods at no cost. They assessed the alternatives in terms of kenneling the animals, creating a sanctuary, or finding them homes, and deemed that this was the only viable option for most of the animals, many of whom were sick, neglected, or had severe aggression problems. I would love to live in a world where no animals were put to sleep, but I also recognize the severe overpopulation problem for dogs and cats in this country, and how miserable a sick animal's life would be if it was left to fend for itself. So while I'm not...
Or left in one of those places and fucking shot in the head.
Totally. Well, I'm not...
If at best.
I'm not thrilled with animals being put down or anything like that, but I'm also not so, like, closed-minded or short-sighted to think that it's intrinsically wrong when you have a situation where it's like, there is nothing you can do to help this yeah. animal that's going to live in pain.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, whatever. This is the reality of what PETA is being smeared for in that article put out by the Center for Consumer Freedom. And it's clear why. Rick Berman is a paid bully who defends his corporate clients who don't want to have to pay more to do their dirty business. PETA makes it difficult for his big food clients to keep abusing animals to keep overhead low, so he's being paid big bucks to target them with propaganda. There's no nuance here. Alex Jones is literally passing off pro-corporate interest propaganda as research on his show. The fact that he says that this is from the Center for Consumer Research leads me to suspect that he was trying to muddy the waters and make it more difficult for his listeners to realize that what he was doing was repurposing corporate propaganda on his show. I suspect that. I can't prove it. You know, there is a world that exists where he just misspoke,
yeah.
coincidentally, and doesn't he wasn't trying to cover up the idea that this is information that's coming out of a fairly easy to get to the bottom of corporate shill.
Or it could just be subconscious in that he's like, yeah, that's clearly not a real thing. So I'll just say the real thing because would I say
but
a
that's
fake
the
thing?
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the same motivation.
No,
it's
exactly.
muddying the waters so exactly. his listeners are left in the dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Now for the fun little part, it should be noted that Rick Berman specifically works for things that Alex is absolutely against. In addition to having taken their money, Berman admitted in 2016 that he had worked as a consultant for Monsanto, specifically about how to make their GMOs more appealing to the public.
So he's like that one dude we talked about who's just a propaganda a fucking soldier of fortune. Maybe we should get PETA to do that shit. Maybe we should start a consulting group. We'll come up with propaganda and we'll just have all this shit for it. Like, so PETA hires us, but we don't have to disclose our donors. And then we'll put all those animals down. I feel like that's not the plan that I wanted to. I don't think that's the one we want to do. Never mind. I'm going to back away from that one.
My point is here, Alex is doing this thing where, you know, PETA is an organization that he's against, I guess. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why. I guess because they're annoying
they're
and
vaguely
he likes
liberal?
Meat. Yeah.
I guess that's the only thing I can sort of think of. Like, if you just look at them externally, you associate them with more left, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly why he's super against PETA, but he's using this clear example of a front for corporate propaganda
right.
that's funded by the Koch brothers, Monsanto, Tyson Foods, and the Bradley Foundation, who was founded by
super
a guy
on the up and up,
friends with Fred Koch,
super great,
and was a founding member of the John Birch Society.
Super great.
So you have all of this together. It's very... Man, It just keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Weird.
The John Birch Society keeps popping up where evil is done.
It's weird. Yeah, it's very weird that those dudes.
I don't think they're good people.
No, they're not.
I think they're actually bad people. Like destroying
the world bad.
Yeah. Like super villain plan level bad.
Seems that way.
They're almost a shadowy cabal of rich people.
I wonder.
Getting together. To sow discord and foment issues in order to muddy the waters, divide people, and destroy them.
Mm-hmm. And make impotent true social change.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's the conclusion this podcast will eventually come to.
There are globalists, and they're evil.
They're not globalists, though. Corporatists.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares about that? Because that, you know, we're just talking about feelings, and, you know, there's no larger picture to it necessarily. What we can say for sure is it looks like these are real bad people.
Yeah.
Like it's bad people that Alex is getting his information from.
Right.
But they're not nearly as bad as everyone who works at PETA.
And let me tell you, they get off on it. They pressure their employees to go adopt animals and they take them in the back and just inject them and get a weird look on their face. I mean, these are some sick freaks, folks.
I don't understand why you're laughing at that if you think it's so evil.
I don't know.
That's
man.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to
also,
do.
Also, how do you know about the looks on their face?
Well, I mean, he's been to parties before. What are you, not cool?
I guess.
Dan, what are you not? You've never been to a PETA murder party?
I haven't gotten an invite. I've been waiting.
I know.
Everyone
it's going to come in the mail.
Me, yeah,
anyway.
You should come, man. Like the day after, they're all like, Dan, where were you?
You should have been there.
No one told me.
Oh, no. We totally meant to.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, back on track. Alex takes a call here, and what he does is, you know, this caller takes us back to April 1st a little bit with some feelings about immigrants.
Go back to Tom. Finish up, Tom.
Well, I think you made a really good point about the illegal aliens earlier in the show about how that they are truly free in the sense that, you know, they have solid family structures and...
I think Tom is listening to the show on a day delay or something like that. He must be listening to yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
But, sorry. But hold on.
And they're rejecting these mechanisms of control that the American people, the citizens of the United States of America openly accept and cow to and bow to.
And that's why the police just leave them alone. An example, again, an illegal alien in a Winnebago without driver's license or insurance, they let him go 98% of the time, that's admitted. But a citizen, they seize it and auction it and love it because they know the citizens have been trained to be domesticated animals.
Cite your sources.
Even, look.
98%.
Even under Obama, actually, especially under Obama, we increased the number of people we fucking deported.
Yep.
That's a black mark on Obama's fucking presidency.
Yep. It's demonstrably not true what
and
he's
somehow,
saying.
It shouldn't you be, but you can't even give him that. You can't even give him a little bit. You can't even give him one tiny
you
little
can't,
bit.
You can't give him credit for the thing that we judge.
Yeah.
Like people who are ostensibly closer to being on his side.
Yeah.
That are like, that's not good. You can't even be like, well, I hate him for everything, but at least he got rid of a lot of immigrants.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
seems like it should be intellectually honest if he
yeah,
were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, he has to, because it's about creating the dichotomy, the implicit division between illegal immigrant and citizen.
Right.
Which is not a distinction between someone who is a citizen and isn't. It's clearly a racial division. That is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Though using other terminology. It's very, very clear.
And it's so frustrating because the reality is, with all the horrible shit Trump has done, and it's just a staggering amount, but if at the end of his presidency, he finally passes 100% Medicare for all, we'd have to be like, fuck! You gotta give him that!
Well, yeah, you give
him
that.
You give
him
that,
but I don't think it.
I hope he.
I don't think it undoes the scales.
No. It doesn't undo anything. Obama's fucking drone strikes and his increased deportations don't undo the rest of his presidency.
Yeah.
But fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I would tip my hat to any things that are good.
Yeah.
In there.
You can't help it.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex has been talking about. You'll recall that Glenn Beck had that Popular Mechanics guy on. And he announced that this next Monday, he's going to have a full interview with the Popular Mechanics guy where they are going to debunk the internet rumors that are going around about FEMA camps. So immediately, Alex's response was, I'm going to preemptively debunk his debunking because I know what he's going to say in that debunking. And
he
I'm
is
going
psychic.
To, yeah, I'm going to get ahead of the game. He keeps saying he's going to do it. And we're getting down to the wire now. And in this next clip, he realizes he still hasn't done that yet. And he needs to do it because he said he's going to do it preemptively. And there's less power if he puts it out after the fact.
Of course.
Because then he's not psychic. And he has an on-air meeting about how he got to get some work done.
I mean, I could do a show right now and show 20, 30 pieces and Washington Post and Houston Chronicle and admitting they have camps for civil unrest and Senate hearings admitting it.
You didn't need to talk about the Holocaust. You can't
do
this.
With the whole picture. And then also counter how they're going to debunk and show that I understand their mind so well and how they operate that I'm going to predict how the debunking works next Monday.
Have you ever had an off-air production meeting?
And here's the problem.
Ever.
I leave here today to go to George Humphrey's house to interview him for the next Obama film.
Oh, God.
I'll probably get home about 7. But I will do it. I'll drink a bunch of coffee, and I'll stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and I am going to come in here. In fact, guys, Hooge, Paul Hartman, and Mr. Neihard, I need you both here an hour early tomorrow. Can you do that? Because I have to bring in a huge group of printouts, mainstream news articles and bills, and I need you to have them all ready, pulled up with a web address as a list, and then all the video clips. So that'll be we have to have like an hour meeting before tomorrow. I mean, think of Fox. They have, Beck has probably 100 people working for
them. Why not just have it fucking now, you asshole?
Real quick, I want to point out that this implies that they never have a meeting
before
the show.
They've never had a meeting
before
the show.
The idea that he's making a real point of we have to have an hour meeting before the show.
We have to do it, guys.
Means they do no prep.
We have to do a meeting.
Yeah.
Do what? Sir?
As unusual as it is.
Oh, my God. That's right. I have lawyer meetings tomorrow, and I... Since I was getting home early, I told my kids I'd take them fishing. That fishing has to wait. I'm not going to... Oh, man, my wife is going to get mad. They've been so excited all week. No, I have to do it. I have to do it. See, I don't want to wait till Monday and then launch it hours before, because if we get the jump on them and have it all over the web debunking them before, then I can really expose them. I should have launched it earlier this week.
You're on, Eric. You're on air, Alex. Alex. Alex, you're on air.
The real victims.
Alex, you're on air.
You don't get to go fishing. Man.
What is well. Fishing trip's gonna have to wait, kids. Sorry about that. I have to lie better than usual?
There's nothing about that clip that isn't a hilarious bummer. Like, it's just
it's so sad.
Sorry,
what
kids.
Is he, Mr. Bean? What is going on?
I mean, I hope his kids don't listen to his show, but imagine if they do and that's how they find out they're not going fishing. Sorry, kids. I hate Glenn Beck.
Hey, kids, how was your day from school? Dad, we listened to the show. Well, if it's any consolation... I'm not going to do that work, actually.
I'm probably not going to do it.
I'm not going to take you fishing, and I'm not really going
to
do
I'm
the work.
I'm really just trying to weasel out of going fishing.
Going to drink some whiskey.
I'm going to call it coffee. It's going to be an Irish coffee.
Dad's going into a study. We can't go fishing.
So that's good fun. But a little bit later in the show, Alex gets a call from a guy who had tried to call into Sean Hannity's show and plug the Obama deception. So he gets on the show and he starts talking about the Obama deception, and Sean Hannity ends up hanging up on him. He's like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta jump or whatever, because he doesn't want to give free plugs and free press to somebody else. So this guy calls into Alex's show to talk about how he got kicked off Sean Hannity's show for plugging Alex's stuff. And Alex has a very interesting take on it that he would never say today.
So he said a little something to you before he delayed you.
Right. He even mentioned before the show, he started taking calls that there was a 30-second delay because of all the liberal left people, the left right wackos, left wing wackos were, you know, he has to have that 30-second delay to be able to, you know, maintain control. And so I knew I was going to get bleeped. And as soon as I heard myself come live on the radio, sure enough, he already started the next caller. So no one really got to hear it, but I was letting you know that I tried to get through and I'm trying to find.
Well, what you do is you do what Mark Dice does. You record it. And then you put it on YouTube, and then all of his censorship can be exposed. But, you know, it's really not even technically censorship, because they own their show. They can do what they want. really, censorship would be the government coming in and telling you what you could say on your own show or what Sean Hannity could say or do.
Oh, really, Alex?
Hold on, Alex. Are you defining censorship correctly? Hold on. I'm starting to think that he's only saying that. I think he might know what censorship is.
Now, let's imagine that Sean Hannity, instead of hosting a radio show, started a website with a message board on it that became incredibly popular, and there were tons and tons of people on there.
It wasn't
the only message board on the internet, but certainly probably one of the most popular.
Yeah.
And it took away a lot of Sean Hannity's politics in order to get all those people there. Who knows? Let's not dwell on that picture. Sean Hannity starts this giant message board. Alex's line there clearly is he has the right to kick people off that message board.
Yeah.
He has the right to kick people off the show. It's not even censorship.
Censorship would be when the government does it. Yeah.
Boo,
but then again,
Alex.
he does think that the government is directing Google to do it. So he does have that wiggle room.
But I honestly think that is just his way of getting around this argument against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that that's a
100%
position. I agree. That's just his way of like, well, in order for this to appear to be censorship,
right,
I must believe the government is secretly behind all of this.
Right.
And all that. So it's just fun to hear this back in 2009, him like understanding what it is to be censored and what have you. Also, in this episode, Alex confesses to a sin that we have pointed the finger at him at a numerous number of times.
I killed another guy.
The different directions that John takes us in. All the audio clips he thinks to send me, all the news articles he points out, and I got Jaron, I got Paul, the guys here constantly bringing me more news. I've got to somehow go through all this if I just read the headlines and a few paragraphs.
Oh, really? Got all these people bringing me news. The only way I can get through this is just read the headlines and maybe a paragraph. Boo, Alex. Show up an hour early regularly, buddy.
No, can't do that. Hold on. Let's not go crazy. What am I going to take my kids fishing?
Your show starts at 11, man. It's not like you got to wake up at 6 to get in there like one of these morning show guys.
No, they have to wake up at like 4, man.
Yeah.
Morning show guys suck.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, their lives as far as the 4 a.m.
It's miserable. Yeah. You got to go to bed at like 7 in the evening.
Yeah.
So that's just fun. And then another fun thing is you've made a joke, I believe, I don't know if it was the last one, but a recent 2009 episode, Alex just played the entire song, Renegades.
Yeah.
And you're like, what, is he doing FM radio now? What the fuck is going on here? And in this next clip from April 2nd, he is doing FM radio.
But we got a good chance of beating this if we fight back. That's what history shows. So for all of you out there who are fighting back, all of you spreading the Obama deception, to all of you standing up for liberty and freedom, this song is for you, Steve Voss and the Renegades.
He just plays the whole song again.
All right, we got a caller in. Hey, where are you coasting tonight?
That's tough. And the lives they lead far ahead of.
All right, this one goes out to you, Terrence, in Northern California. We're gonna play all of the Renegades.
Terrence and Torrance. here comes Renegades by Steve Vouse. I think it's crazy that within a week he's played that song in its entirety twice on his show. Just loves that fucking song. And that is like Delilah. That is like, for all of you fighting for liberty, this one's going out to you.
It's definitely Delilah.
And I think what it is he had that like sort of moment where he's like, fuck, I got a lot of work to do. I gotta call my wife and tell her to tell the kids I'm not going fishing. I think that's what it was.
He just doesn't want to go fishing with his kids.
I think he realizes he's gotta get ahead of it. And he's gotta be like, I'm not coming home tonight. I gotta get off air. So a little bit of time goes by and then he has, another little block of calls.
Uh-huh.
And he gets this call, which I really think, I know we don't play too many calls of his on the show. We had that guy just a couple of clips back where he's jealous of the illegal immigrants in the country and what
have you. We got fast talking Lauren from Ohio.
Sure, who's a sovereign citizen. Attaché of George Washington's in some way.
One of her ancestors was an aide-de-camp.
Aide-de-camp, excuse me.
Thank you.
I think we do a pretty good job of giving a cross section of Alex's callers.
I think we could play one and do a pretty good job of giving a cross section.
There are some that are kind of boring and certainly not worth looking at or anything like that, but we're not unfair at all. This next clip, if I only played this, it would be unfair.
This has got to be real bad then.
Now, at the same time,
either that or it's got to be incredibly progressive.
If I played just this call, it would be painting the picture that all of Alex Jones's callers are totally crazy. At the same time, this call is not far out of the mainstream.
No.
But it would be super unfair of me to just play calls like this. But this is nuts.
Let's go ahead and talk to Marine in Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right.
I've got something. First of all, thank you for everything you do. Now, so much that is said absolutely sounds scary. We need to remember we serve the Most High God. These other idiots are serving Satan. He only took one-third of the angels with him. It's going to be a two-against-one fight.
Uh-oh. Satan.
So now we're getting into troop numbers in the fight against the devil.
Satan is at a 2-1 disadvantage in this battle.
Wait, so now Satan's the one at the Alamo? Shouldn't you be on Satan's side? He's the underdog, man.
Well, yeah. So that was the last clip we have, which is somewhat heartening in the sense that we don't have any more clips, and in the sense that the devil is got to work from behind.
Yeah.
He's got a tough row to hoe.
Absolutely.
The rest of the show is George Humphrey comes in studio. And it's the same thing as in that interview with Rob Dew. He keeps being like, we're filming this for the next Obama movie. And so he's just doing takes and stuff like that. George Humphrey said he calls Asian people Orientals at one point. I'm like,
Great. Oh, no. Great.
Oh, no, George.
Good work.
And then immediately after that, he quotes Friday Night Lights, the open hearts can't
clear
lose.
Clear eyes, open hearts can't lose.
Yeah, like, George, what are you doing? Very strange.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you this right now. Satan got out of there, and he had a 1-2 negative. Like, he had no chance.
He ran a...
And he still did it.
He ran a 6-4-40.
Clear eyes, demon hearts can't lose.
I think the quote was, like, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, oriental, clear eyes, open heart, like, oh, no.
No, you can't do that. No, I wouldn't do that.
So that was bad. And then the rest of it is all just stuff from the Obama deception. So as I was listening to it, I was just so incredibly bored. Like, it was all just the same sort of stuff that he said in the Obama deception.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't give me much hope that the new film that Alex is making is going to be groundbreaking in any way. It's very the same thing.
So if I understand correctly.
So far, he's had Webster Tarpley and George Humphrey interviews for this new documentary.
Right.
The two people who were also in the original movie.
Right.
And he's had Rob Dew go to Sacramento to do some sort of race baiting about a homeless encampment. So that's what we've got for the documentary so far.
Is this documentary like Evil Dead 2 where it's basically a remake of the first documentary?
I suspect it is.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. I suspect
it's
it is.
It's probably better quality. Much like Evil Dead
Evil
2. Dead?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh.
You know why? Because
no, I mean compared to
no,
the
I understand.
Obama.
Oh, I
okay.
understand.
Never mind.
I don't think it will be though.
No,
because
I doubt it.
Alex also has said that like we're going to try and make this one more verite. It's not less of that voiceover stuff.
This is actually a road documentary.
It's going to be found footage. I just saw the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Innovative.
Isn't that huge right now in 2009, the Blair Witch Project?
My kids love it. They watch it instead of going fishing with me because I'm too busy trying to fuck with Glenn Beck.
Oh, man, how great would it be if his kids had already canceled on him going fishing and he had to create this whole psychodrama where he's the one who actually canceled on them?
I was trying to find a way to turn this into like a Gift of the Magi thing. They've sold their fishing rods in order to buy him the proof that Glenn Beck's a liar. I don't know.
And he quit InfoWars in order to take the fishing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, okay, there we go. Found the Magi.
Yep.
So I think this is interesting. I think this episode is, I might have oversold the beginning of it certainly being like groundbreaking and the idea that he's saying Soros is funding these protesters.
Right, but that is
interesting. We could see that be a blip in the radar, but it is interesting to see that there. We're seeing the trends of Fox News becoming more like him and he's getting fucking pissed off by it. Glenn Beck, he could handle. because that works. That fits.
Yeah.
He's talked about him in the past about how he's a snake in the grass and all this stuff. So it kind of works for him. But now that you got Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, all these other people coming and being too similar to him, he's like, they're exploiting my revenue stream.
Yeah.
This is my lane.
Yeah.
And people are getting into it. So I think that's interesting. The clear evidence that he's just sort of funneling corporate propaganda, pretending it comes from somewhere else, that tickles me to no end. And then he's just a racist. So.
It is fun. It's both, like surprising and, when you think about it, incredibly obvious that he would notice before the rest of the culture at large realized that Fox News was becoming InfoWars.
Yeah.
Like, of course, he picked up on it immediately because, they're fucking with his revenue.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us were like, Fox News is just going crazy. We didn't realize that they were taking their first step along the path of InfoWars.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Yeah.
It is like one of the only insightful moments that we've seen from him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth something. But I don't know. We'll see how this all works out. I am very, despite most of, like a lot of this being about the Queen and what have you and just how she shits.
Do you want to call Larry Nichols to confirm if
the
Queen
the
has? Yeah, yeah. We're gonna need to get Larry Nichols on here.
I'd rather not. It's too late. I do feel like I'm enjoying April, and I hope it continues.
This so far, it's going all right.
Yeah, this 2009 April is feeling pretty good. So anyway, we'll be back soon.
Uh-huh.
For all of you who out there who celebrate it, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Indeed.
For those of you who don't, happy holidays and whatever.
And for those of you who don't have any holidays right now,
hey,
cool,
good
man.
Times.
Yeah. You and me both, buddy.
Enjoy the
We're
cold.
We're all doing good.
We have a website, knowledgefight.com.
Indeed we do. Do we have a Twitter?
We do. It's knowledge_fight.
What about if there was a giant message board that was analogous to the one that Sean Hannity created in your analogy to the situation that we are currently in?
We are on Facebook.
Yep. We got a group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant.
That's correct. We're also on iTunes. You can download, subscribe, all that good stuff.
For sure. You've heard a podcast before.
We will be back next time.
Indeed.
But
I would like to say that Lauren from Ohio hasn't killed anybody, but God, I feel like she's probably killed somebody.
Nah, it's a safe bet that Lauren from Ohio is in the clear on murder. Let's
no
say
way.
She is.
Look at how messed up she is.
Look, you have no evidence that she's messed up. You have no evidence that she's ever killed anybody.
Fair
it
enough.
Is an irresponsible accusation. So at this point, barring any further evidence, Lauren from Ohio has not killed anybody. But one guy, technically, probably has. And that's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.